Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we're talking about the kind of wealth that money just can't buy. And if you don't go within, you just may go without. And of course, who really wants to go without? Because when we're talking about wealth, what we're really talking about is so much more than money. We're really talking about choices. We're talking about a quality of life. And isn't that why we pursue the money in the first place? And yes, we live in this 3D reality. As much as we are all these spiritual beings here walking around in human spacesuits, we have all kinds of creature comfort needs and desires. And some of the greatest joys in life, frankly, money contributes to, right? So how can we create it? How can we allocate it in ways that bring out the best of who we are as human beings? Well, that's what we're here to discuss each and every week. And this one is certainly no exception. In fact, today we have with us Richard Strozzi-Heckler, who is a leadership coach extraordinaire, president of the Strozzi Institute, wrote a great book called The Leadership Dojo, Build Your Foundation as an Exemplary Leader. And whether you're leading a business, whether you're retired, or whether you're low man on the totem pole, guess what? We're all leaders because we're all leading our own lives. And nobody else is waking up in our skin and bones every day. So how can we take our lives to the next level? We'll talk to Richard and find out. And we also have with us the Green Bonanno, John Bonanno, who's joining us back for our winning business segment. And you know why it's winning business? It's because nobody has to lose. And John is a clean tech guru who's going to share with us how we can do well, do good, and make money and save the planet all at once. So that sounds pretty cool, huh? Works for me. And hopefully for you as well. But until we get to Richard and John, as always, we have this week's heaping helping bowl of stew. You know, I've been thinking long and hard about this stew. In fact, I turned it stew from a noun to a verb. Because, in fact, I was stewing a bit today. And if you're from Marin, I would have been marinating, if you know what I mean. Because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering, what the heck am I going to say on the air today? Believe it or not, not all these remarks are always prepared and rarely scripted, despite popular belief. So there you go. What could I possibly say today that'd be any different from any other day? You know, it sounds like one of those Passover type questions if you're from the Jewish persuasion thing. And I started thinking, you know, what if this were, in fact, the last show we were to do? What would I want to communicate? Because, you know, bottom line is none of us really know when our time is up here, right? We all think we're not going to live forever. We hope we're going to live for a heck of a long time. And some of us actually believe, oh, there's all the time in the world to get around to doing all the things in life we could possibly want. And there may be some truth to that, but isn't it also true? There's only one time that really exists anymore, if ever. And that's right here, right now. So in terms of really being present, that's really where the wealth is, and that's really where our lives are. And a lot of us spend times, and I can speak for myself, and maybe you can too, fantasizing or visualizing the future and what that could possibly look like. Or going back in the past and living life there too with either a sense of regret or a sense of, living in some peak experiences possibly. Well, either way, maybe it's easy. It's easy not to be here, right now. And so I'm inviting you all to become really present and that just consider for this moment that the future and the past doesn't exist. And none of us really know how much more time we have on this planet. What we do have is this very moment. And so what would I want to offer up as a gift, as a philosophy, as something from Inside Wealth, that just in case this were to be the last show, just in case something really weird were to happen, and by the way, I'm not inviting that one in. I expect to be on for a heck of a long time, so you get to even hear reruns and all new stuff as well. But you know, the truth is, if this were to be the last show, what could we possibly want to communicate? What really is going deep into this notion of wealth, of what it really is? Because don't we all know that it's not a number? There's nothing in our bank account that can tell us how good we really feel about ourselves or how much we appreciate the love we have in our lives. So I figured, why not go to the absolute core of wealth and use one of the metaphors and stories from the Hindu tradition, where there's Brahma, who's the all-seeing God. He's all everything. And just imagine if you were all everything. Okay, there'd be nothing else but you. Would you be a little bored? Maybe a little lonely in your total fulfillment? So anyway, Brahma is bored, go believe, and just says, you know what? I'm going to make myself a playmate. So he creates this playmate, very attractive playmate, actually, called Maya, who's also known as the goddess of play and illusion, and says, Maya, I am bored out of my gourd. Let's play a game. What you got for me? She says, okay, tell you what, you're all everything, you're all formless. Let's get some form going here. Let's make some stars. Let's make a sun. Let's make a universe. Let's make some planets. Let's put some stuff in the shape. Fine. Done. This guy's great, Brahma. I mean, snap of a finger kind of thing. That's what happens when you're God. You get all, you know, you're all powerful. You got to do all this right on the dime. Okay. Now put these animals on and the trees and air and water and make this planet called Earth a special planet, nice and green and vibrant and alive and growing and nurturing for all these other animals. Okay, done. Now what? Now make these special creatures, and we're going to call them human beings, who have a power of reason and a power of free will. So they actually get to make their own choices. Sounds interesting. Done. Now what? Well, then she whips out of nowhere, who knows, but I guess maybe she's got a little bit of that creator juice inside of her as well. She whips out this huge sword, chops up this formless Brahma into a zillion pieces, and puts a little piece of each Brahma, a little piece of Brahma inside of each human being. Now, here's the game, Brahma. Remember who you are. So the reason why we're bringing this story up in terms of inside wealth is that when we remember who we really are, when you remember who you really are, beyond the forms, beyond all of the toys, the bank account, the bills, even your relationships, when you cut all of it out and go right to the core in terms of who you really are and what you're really made of. And when you're in touch with that, isn't that a wealth unlike any other? Isn't that really a wealth that money can't buy? Now, I know a lot of it, you know, can be aspired to religion. But isn't it true? Maybe it is for you, maybe it's not, but at least something to consider. That isn't the real wealth when we all have it, where it's not just residing in Bill Gates looking down at the rest of us, or Warren Buffett, or from the financial standpoint, or any one of us, maybe you, feeling better about yourself because you have more money than the schlump down the block. Because a lot of this wealth thing is tied up in this relative wealth thing, right? Where it's not so much about how much we have, but how much we have relative to other people. And as long as there are Joneses ahead of us, don't we all get accustomed to not feeling all that great about ourselves, where we're in this kind of rat race, whereas Lily Tomlin says, the problem with it is, even if you win, you're still a rat. So, getting back to the Brahma story, I'm inviting you to consider what you were made of, what we are all made of, that there is something inside of us, that which is intangible, that which is loving, that which is just absolutely thrilled to be incarnate in this particular form for the limited time that we have. And we don't know how long we have, but to the extent we can appreciate it, to the extent we can share this intangible within us, you could call it the soul, you could call it your spirit, you could call it your heart, whatever you call it. If you could let that out and share it, and let everybody know who you really are on the inside. And you know what? That is something that nobody can take from you. That's a wealth that money cannot buy. Ah, doesn't that feel good? Works for me. Well, with that, so much for our bowl of stew. And now we're on to Richard Strozzi Heckler, who, as advertised, wrote a great book called The Leadership Dojo, Build Your Foundation as an Exemplary Leader, and it's about time that we can take our lives even more exemplary than it already is. So, Richard, thanks for joining us on Inside Wealth.
Thanks for inviting me, Stu.
Well, it's a joy to have you here. And before we get into the details of how we can live an exemplary leadership of living as well as in business, you're a martial arts expert, you're a former Marine, a clinical psychologist, executive coach. You got it all going on, excelling in a number of different areas in your life. How do you define success?
What a great, great question. First of all, I think that there's two ways to look at this. One is that the place where we focus on something in our life and we say, if I'm successful, this is what this will look like. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to get a PhD. I'm going to get married. I'm going to be a patient father. And we have certain standards about that. And then at some place in this moment, we can go, I've achieved that. And I can say that I've been successful. And while that is a narrow band, I think that it's a very important band because I think there's so many of us that will achieve things that will move towards success, and we never really allow ourselves to really declare that or to see that. And without doing that, what we'll continue to do is go back and try to make it more successful again, as opposed to saying, I said I wanted to do it. It's here. It might look different than I thought, but I was given it by that little piece of Brahman inside of me, and I'm successful. The other place has to do with something, as you said, that's intangible and has nothing to do with external objects or artifacts, that it is a deep, deep pleasure, a deep, deep bodily pleasure about being alive. And that deep, deep bodily pleasure about being alive is manifested by compassion towards oneself and others, by a way of moving skillfully with people, and to allowing the depth of our wisdom to come forward in the world. In other words, really, it is about this notion that I believe that love is the final answer, and that we feel both that sense of love towards ourselves and towards others, and a gratefulness for being alive. That's success for me.
So, Richard, what's your recipe? How do you achieve that, or how do you experience that in your body? And thank you for pointing out that success for you is a body experience. It's not just something of the mind. It's something that your full body participates in. What is your recipe for how you go about achieving that in your life?
Yeah, well, let me say that, you know, to give a little context here, is that all of my professional life has really been studying what we now call the mind-body-spirit continuum. When I wrote my dissertation in the early 70s, it was called the mind-body interface, and that and the Institute were one of the very, very first pieces of work around how the mind-body connection has to do with education, healing, self-generation, et cetera. And what I found, and what keeps coming back to both in my disciplines of meditation, the martial arts, body-oriented psychology, is not a big secret, but is the whole notion of practice. And I can't say that enough. That we change, we modify, we transform ourselves through practices. So in the very beginning of the show, you talked about the importance. You asked everybody to evoke being just simply present. And no one could have an ethical or moral argument against it, and everybody would say, no, this is really where I'm living, where I should be. But if we don't practice, we won't be in the present. And it becomes a bumper sticker. Like if you talk to anybody, they say we want world peace, but we don't have world peace, so we're in the wrong practices. Simple answer here, Stu, is that I'm saying this to all your listeners. Are you in the practices that will allow your life to turn out the way that you're declaring it now? Are you in the correct practices? The other thing about it is the body. When I say body throughout this show, I'll mean the body-mind or the mind-body. Is incapable of not practicing. So if you go around with your head forward, your shoulders slumped, your mouth turned down, you're practicing a certain way of behaving. That's not simply a posture. That is also a way of having emotions and moods and showing up in the world in a particular way. One can just feel that. Your listeners can take that posture, round your shoulders, drop your head, look down at the ground, and then put the head on top of the shoulders, bring your shoulders back, your chest forward, and let your jaw relax. That will shift your mood and perception of the world.
Stay tuned, because we're going to go deeply into our body, mind, and spirit with Richard Strozzi-Heckler right here on Inside Wealth.